Welcome to another episode of the Panic Pod. My name is Ella Jean, and I'm joined by the just talented, genius, all-around social media personality, author, therapist, known as Joshua Fletcher. How are you, Josh?
Brilliant. Yeah, those made me really cringe there. Because ultimately, I'll never accept those words until my dad looks me in the eyes and tells them me himself. But he won't, and he can't. So thanks.
Josh. See, now you know how it feels. Like, we just thought we'd switch up the past episodes with me doing the intro instead of you. Now you know what it's like to be called, speaking of entitled and all of those things. See what I haven't let go of?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was subverting norms. I was sick of being symbolic, middle class, white, male, patriarchal figure. Mm-hmm. Let's bring him off his pedestal.
And you got what you asked for. So I wanted to talk this episode about facing challenges. And hey, this is the last episode of this season. We're going to start a new season in 2021. How does that make you feel?
It sounds brilliant. A season finale.
Season finale. Does it feel like a challenge to start a new series, to start a new season?
Just take a second for you to just dwell on that for that awful, awful joke. Yeah. it'll be a challenge. Already this season finale is going to be like the finale of Game of Thrones or the very last episode of The Sopranos. But we'll see how it goes. Facing challenges.
This has been brought to mind for me because I think going into 2021, we're going to be doing things for the first time again. So, you know, for me, what that's going to look like is I'm a musician and I've only been doing virtual shows for a few months since March, and I started to feel like, wow, am I going to remember how to be in front of people again? Is that going to be a bit rusty? Is that going to have gone away? And I also just think that this type of episode would work for anybody that has experienced anxiety in a different sphere of their life. Like, for me, that was social anxiety. For some people, that could be health anxiety, that could be generalized anxiety. And I wanted to think about when you're going into a situation that you know is going to be challenging, that you know is going to be just new, like you're just unfamiliar with a lot of the moving parts of it, and how to come up with a plan, because that's what I always try to do. Mm-hmm. I try to like reduce my anxiety by being prepared, because that makes me feel more confident. And then also what we can do when the feelings of anxiety just come up and we want to do healthy things to cope and let them pass and remember that it is just anxiety. So facing challenges feels like kind of a throwback to when we were talking about fear versus anxiety, because we're talking about fearful situations. I mean, that is a subjective thing, but fearful situations to the person who's stepping in and having the confidence to go into them. But this is a really indulgent episode for me, because I, as an artist, come up with against this a lot. Like, I think that I do a lot of stuff that I know is unnatural and challenging, and I don't want to say give myself anxiety, because it's not a transactional thing, like you say, but I do things that create fear, and then sometimes that gets mixed up with anxiety. And finally, just to round this off, I know that when we started series one, episode one, the thing that I said was, I have to keep in check that this isn't just a podcast where Ella gets free therapy sessions every time we do an episode, but I get one a year. So can this just be the one?
Yeah, okay. I will model well-regulated and refined therapeutic skills for you. Already violating ethical guidelines by being a therapist.
Broadcasting it to the
world. Broadcasting it to the world.
Yeah.
So whatever you say is not confidential.
I have to be aware of that being behind a microphone, so that's fine.
But at the same time, I'm also being broadcast to the world, so you're going to get a really robotic therapist. Yes, that sounds distressing. Yes. No, cool. Let's do it. Facing challenges. And then I'll think of some other kind of scenarios, and if people can people resonate with this. It is winter. We have recorded this at the time of a pandemic. If you're listening to this in a few years' time and the pandemic's over, because a vaccine was made but then it went wrong, and then we're just experiencing waves upon waves of robotic genocide. Hi to you too. But yeah, this is what we're going to do.
It's a difficult Rick and Morty episode, Josh. Let's not go into this.
I've not watched that for a while. And so, let's look at this. Facing challenges and looking behind that. Okay, where did you want to start?
So where I want to start, scenario one is that I'm doing a gig again. Gigs are something that don't really make me nervous, but after not doing them for at least a year, by the time I'm sure I'll be able to do one properly again, there's going to be feelings of, let's say the health anxiety is completely eliminated. Let's put this in a world where there's a vaccine, everything is safe about this, that I'm not doing one till well after this transition, but just I'm doing something again that is a challenge considering the circumstances, and I want to prepare myself for it. I think this episode really is just about, like, how do I prepare? And so the question that I have first is approaching a fearful situation doing the same thing as exposure therapy when you're overcoming a phobia?
Is what the same thing as that? So again, so
if I'm approaching a fearful situation, if I'm approaching a gig that I haven't done a gig for a year, I'm nervous about it, and I have a reason to be nervous for it because it's a new situation, or I'm rusty, is it fair to approach that, or is it useful to try to approach that with the same methods of overcoming phobia that we've learned? So yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, first of all, what we're talking about there is anticipatory anxiety, and this is the bane of most people's lives. But anticipatory anxiety is a good thing. You're anxious because you care. If you weren't anxious and you had a gig, you just what's the driving force? You know, part of the reason behind performance is that you dance and play with risk, you know. And whether you're a performer, an actor, a speaker, whatever, that anticipatory anxiety is thriving because it's like, ooh, here's an opportunity where the stakes are quite high. And it's arguably why performers, musicians, actors have done it all this time. Step one of my 12-step program. No, step one is remind yourself, I'm anxious because I care, and that's a good thing because I'm doing something I actually care about. I've done jobs. My first ever job was at KFC, and you know, this was before I had anxiety disorder. But the morning dread I'd have knowing that I'd have to go and work 9 hours in that kitchen was something else, you know, because I didn't care. You know, I was just like, whatever. But when you've got that kind of positive anticipatory anxiety, it means you care, you know. But of course, anxiety and its whole purpose is to make you doubt, you know. Anxiety, it's an old fight or flight response, as we know, and its purpose is to make you doubt. Because if you doubt, you might avoid. And if you avoid, it saves your life. But of course, we know that, you know, you can feel that doubt. You can feel that fight or flight when you're imagining, oh, I don't have to go. Oh, I might avoid it. Oh, I can postpone this gig. Oh, maybe I can false comfort my way through it, or white knuckle my way through it, or whatever. And that's okay. You're supposed to have that. That's what everyone has. The difference is, though, and why the same approach still applies, with if you've got disorder anxiety, or just you who's really nervous to do a gig again, is that you're addressing a fear, the same fear that everyone who's anxious gets, and that one fear is, what if I don't cope? And I will say to anyone that, name me a time where you haven't coped, which is usually never. Or I usually get answers like, yeah, but this time I had a panic attack and then I had to leave. I was like, yeah, but that's not coping. That's you choosing to get up and leave. You know, where, name me a time where you realize you truly haven't coped. You've truly lost control. You know, and remind yourself, well, you didn't really, did you? You know, you did get through it. It's discomfort. So, yeah, I would say to you, Ella, you know, anticipatory anxiety is good. Go do it. Interestingly, looking at the science behind it, and this is quite modern, recent science, is that people, experts, have deduced, actually, that the fear response that emanates from the brain in a situation is different. It comes from a different place than the fear response that arises in anticipatory anxiety.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So right. You can sit, the worst part of anxiety is the anticipation. So if you're sat there at home worrying because you're due on set and you've got a really important scene or a really good gig to do, that anticipatory anxiety, it feels horrible and it plays you all these movies of you failing or predictions because you are a failure. I'm joking. But like kind of that's kind of what it is. But actually in the situation when you're on set, when you pick up that guitar or do whatever it is you're going to do, that anxiety is actually different.
Right.
It comes from a different place. It's still anxiety. But at the end of it, I always say to people, what was worse, the anticipation or the event? And 9 times out of 10, they say, actually, it was sitting in my room, like just stewing on it that was the worst. So all I say is, you will cope. This is actually a positive feeling. You will cope. And you have overcome and seen every challenge that life has thrown at you up until this point.
Yeah, I really like that when we remind ourselves, and I think I'm always better when it comes to one of my artist friends in my community dealing with some insecurities or coping with fear around performing. When you have an outside eye that can see it, I think it's always so good to remind people, think of all the things that you've accomplished, think of all the things that you've actually done. And when they're having a moment of self-doubt, it's always useful to remind your friends, hey, what about that time that you were totally fearless on stage and did this? What about that time when we just jumped into an improv session without knowing what you're going to do? What about that time, this and that? And I think that's a really, really good start, is just to like grow that self-compassion. When the what ifs come, remind that voice that there is so much more that we've adapted to and accomplished outside of that. Another challenge that comes up, another thing that I'm thinking about, is that anticipatory anxiety that you're talking about. I'm sitting alone, you know, this could be literally a month before the gig, 2 weeks before the gig. And if I, as a patient, I'm coming to you and I'm saying, you know what, like, I spend so much time just thinking through the what ifs, and it prohibits me from even doing some stuff that would be useful planning. So I self-sabotage by overthinking the what ifs, and I can't even get my brain in the right place to think what has to be done first, what has to be done next, what do I actually have to prepare. So tell me more about the anticipatory anxiety and how and why that's different. And if I could just get some breathing room so that I didn't feel so anxious to begin with, I could do more practical things to actually plan for what I need to do so that I can feel less anxious on the day. But I have a hard time even getting to that point because the anticipation anxiety is just so strong. What can I do to reduce that, to give myself some of the time so that I'm not avoiding the actual logistical planning of stuff that could be really useful to me?
That's a good question. And actually, this is where it kind of becomes subjective. I invite you, Ella, to look at what we mean by a threat response. When we think about a threat response, we think about the amygdala. And the amygdala triggers that fight or flight response, and you know, that triggers the limbic system to release adrenaline, release cortisol, which is anticipatory anxiety. That's what's happening. Your threat response is being triggered, and that's what's happening. Okay.
When I'm months away from it, you mean? When I'm months away from it.
Yeah, because you're imagining it and it's threat. But then I go a bit deeper, and this is where it becomes more subjective. We know what's happening. So 2 months away from this gig, and when I think about it, my threat response is triggering and sending my body going bananas, and therefore I can't sleep, my mind's racing, and I keep thinking about it. So for me, that tells me, and this is where you kind of delve into a more of a humanistic kind of constructivist point of view, is I wonder as a therapist what Ella defines as a threat. And that's where things get interesting.
Right.
Because actually, threats to us thousands of years ago were saber-toothed tigers, lions, poisonous fruit, or Wigan. And what's really interesting is, like, if you, as we've, like, evolved and advanced, and I mean, we're so advanced now, it's insane. The old, you know, lizard part of our brains, our old threat responses haven't grown in tandem. So what happens is our perception of what our definition, our conceptualization of what a threat is becomes subjective to the individual. So the person with social anxiety would perceive a threat to be judgment. They would perceive a threat to be someone looking at them going, nah, and looking at them disapprovingly. Someone with panic disorder would perceive panic or anxiety as a threat in itself.
Right. You know?
Someone who's performing, what's the threat there? So I would ask you, Ella, and only if you feel comfortable sharing, I would ask you, what is your brain suggesting to you that is a threat at this gig? And I would guess, knowing you as someone who's out ridiculously talented, ridiculously clever, ridiculously entrepreneurial, I would guess that I'd guess that because you haven't gigged for so long, is the fear and the threat response the fact that you're afraid you can't meet the once high standards that you've held for yourself? Have you lost it? Is it still there? Oh, I don't know, because this is something I used to do every week. And because it's been so long, there's an unknown surrounding it. And that would be what I'd guess.
Really, that is what it boils down to. Because when I really think about it, it's not so much worried about a what people think situation, but it's more the logistics of it. And that's where I wanted to bring up, when you have a sort of anticipatory anxiety that is actually prohibiting you from doing the logistical things that would get you prepared for what you're about to do. So for me, it's quite a thing that I know, okay, if I practice more, the more I practice, the more prepared I am, the less likelihood there is of that actually happening. But I want to think about this as well in ways that people can relate to, that if it's social anxiety, say that somebody's, like, for the past few years overcome quite a bit to do with moderate social anxiety, and they're really proud of themselves because leading up to coronavirus they were making some really big gains in terms of, like, not feeling so anxious around people and perceive social judgment in terms of what other people were thinking about them when they're at a social gathering, feeling like they belonged to a group and not like they were, like a lot of feelings that I have with social anxiety when I was suffering with it a lot were just like, I'm this odd duck, like I'm the odd one out, I don't belong here. So when we have like these anticipatory thoughts that keep going around and almost prevent us from doing something that, for me, as the socially anxious person, if I were really to face it and go like, okay, I'm going to get ready for having a social interaction again, for me, that manifests as like, I need to do something that requires courage. So even just like even if it was talking to people, reaching out to people I don't talk to a lot on social media, or or like waving at someone, or speaking louder when I'm ordering a coffee, you know, like speaking up, not like watching my body language, not being sort of like caved in and quiet, and and just trying to like express myself more in certain situations. Those are small acts of ways that I would get over social anxiety. So when the real true threat to the situation is I'm worried about not meeting the standards that I've set for myself when this event arises, what can I tell myself as the individual to calm those thoughts from sort of spinning around and just sit down and practice the guitar if that's what needs to happen? If there's something like, I know there's, my wise mind tells me there is a tangible way to prepare myself for this, but how do I get there?
With your wise mind, you can assume that actually I've got this. I believe that no matter what happens, I can cope, I can do this. And it reminds me of something that you said in our last session, in something about relapses. And it was just, you said something brilliant. You said, why are you figuring it out at the same time as coping with it? And we meant talking about anxiety. If you're anxious and stressed and go around in thought loops, your thoughts are racing, you feel stressed, you can feel yourself obsessing. I'm one of these people. I obsess, or I call it, I fixate. I'm a fixator. And when I fixate on something good, you know, miracles happen. God, that's me being modest, isn't it? But when I fixate on something bad, you know, you might not see me for months.
Oh, I just love this, because my bandmate said a quote to me the other day that I absolutely love. Your strengths are a mirror image of your greatest weaknesses. Your greatest strengths are a mirror image of your weaknesses. And what you've just said there about fixating, I think that's just a good thing to remember sometimes when it comes to, I'm setting a high standard for myself, which is a very big strength, but it can also be my biggest weakness, because I'm getting very stressed about it.
Look at Rain Man, socially inept, but can be a millionaire because he can count cards. You know, the very thing that makes him one thing, you can't be the other. And it applies to everyone. Look at all the geniuses throughout time. You know, Sir Isaac Newton was a nutcase. He had a fear of people just touching him. He hated being around people, and yet was one of the greatest minds of our time. You know, it's like, it's of our time. I mean, we didn't live at the time as Sir Isaac Newton. But yeah, it's the kind of, I love the term fixator. You know, so it sounds like you're fixating. If you're someone who fixates at home on something, I bet you fixated on stuff that's been amazing. You know, I bet you fixated on a project that has come out and you have absolutely nailed it, you know? I bet you've planned stuff, done stuff, decorated stuff, gone on holiday that you've planned and fixated on, done something, completed a project, done something ace at work, nailed an exam because you fixated on it. It became your world and you jumped in and it became everything. Unfortunately, because you're a fixator, sometimes the topic can be annoying. So if it's your own anxiety and you become fixated on it, you're just going to go round and round on a carousel of frustration and fear. You know, if you've got a gig coming up that you're scared of, or you're challenging some social anxiety and you're sat at home fixating on it, there's literally no point in to do that. But I think most people know this already. So what I do is I bring in the terminology of permission. What do you think I mean by permission? How do you think permission plays a role in when you're stuck in loops of anticipatory anxiety, catastrophe? What does the word permission mean?
Wow. To me, the word permission now is like opening up the floodgates on, what if I've been blocking this whole time, and what if I just accepted that for a minute? So if I'm stressed because I'm worried that you know, my perfectionism and my standards for how I want to be at this gig. What if there's not enough time? What if I can't meet those standards? What if I fall short of those standards? What if I can't do it? If I gave myself permission to be, just to accept that that's there for a reason, that that critical eye is there for a reason, that's what is resonating with me now, because it's just bringing up a lot of feelings of what if you accepted all that you've tried to block so far. Is it something along those lines?
Yeah, and it's those. I mean, what's interesting, as you were talking there, I was thinking about that threat response again. What do I find as a threat? So when you were saying, what if this, what if that, what if that? What's the one universal threat there?
Oh, failure?
Yeah. So the threat is failure. My anxious response, my amygdala, thinks that failure is the ultimate fear that I need to avoid. So then I would say, okay, I'm detaching from this. I acknowledge that my anxious response is kicking off because I need to work on my definition of what failure is. But
right.
I know what my fear is now. I know the answer. I don't need to keep sitting and going around on the carousel of fear and frustration. What I can do is acknowledge why I'm anxious and then give myself permission to take my attention away. So I get it.
Yeah.
Because all those what ifs there are, what if I fail? That was it.
Yeah.
What if I'm not prepared enough? Because I might fail. What if I do this? Because I might fail. What if I've not done this in time? Because I might fail. It's just, you're just saying, what if I fail, over and over and over and over again.
That's so poetic. It's just beautiful, because it's like, even as I said, failure, I'm like, that can't be it. And then I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. That's like, it's like we just circle around that one thing that's just sitting right in front of us that we don't want to see. What's the ultimate thing that you're actually scared of? The ultimate thing is just failure. That out of all this preparation, I could prepare for 3 months before a half-hour gig, and yet the sound guy might not have plugged my jack lead into the DI box properly. And when I first go up to sing, I could have nothing come out of the speakers and everybody will laugh because it didn't quite work. How funny would that be? That, like, the failure aspect could actually be something that's completely out of my control. So I just have to accept that. At some point, you just have to accept there might just be something. And also, if that happens, no one dies. Mm-hmm. No one gets hurt. It's what is the actual effect that happens there? Nothing, really.
Mm. Yeah.
Life moves on.
Yeah, and to be honest, if it is fear of failure, and obviously we can go on, you could spend ages talking about this, but if it is a fear of failure, what I don't know if there's any of my ex-clients are listening to me on this, but I set them homework to go and fail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then you can teach the amygdala that it's fine to fail. Go and fail.
Absolutely.
Nothing bad happens. I mean, obviously, if you've got a job interview coming up or something, or once-in-a-lifetime thing, don't practice there. You know, because
it would practice the same week. Because if you practice that week, you'll walk into that job interview just feeling invincible. It's a strong, strong thing to be accepting of your own failure. Like, yeah, no, that's such good advice. And I remember getting into entrepreneurial stuff, and Tim Ferriss, he does a podcast and does a lot of writing on becoming an entrepreneur. His big thing when you start reading his book is like, listen, I'm going to be giving you a lot of challenges of things to do for yourself through this book, but you're not going to be able to experience the benefit of any of them if you don't accept that sometimes it might not go well. So he sets a challenge to, I forget what he actually has called it, like what the term for it is, but he basically tells people to, in safe spaces where you're not going to hurt yourself or anybody else, go and lie down in a public space. Just lie on the ground. And if someone comes up to you and is like, are you okay? Just say, just taking a break. But he's encouraged people, do this in a Starbucks lineup. Do this in the middle of a market. Do this like somewhere where you are going to feel embarrassed, ridiculous. Why am I doing this? I don't know why I'm going through this, but it's the same sort of thing. It's another YouTuber that my friend introduced me to was going up and asking people for a burger refill after he finished his meal at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, at McDonald's. And you go up and say, can I have a burger refill? And they're going to say, no, we don't do that. And you go, okay, thanks. And you just, you know that you're going to fail at this mission, but you just do it.
Absolutely.
And accept the outcome.
Yeah,
and
I love it.
It feels very confusing, but also yeah. afterwards, you feel kind of invincible because you're like, that didn't hurt me.
Yeah, it's the yeah, definitely. It's and also when you look at it from a physiological point of view and what we know about, like the amygdala's going, and then when yeah. it realizes we're still alive, we're still safe, we're still well, nothing mm-hmm. catastrophic happened, really, mm-hmm. and then it turns off. You take away that fear of failure. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think, Ella, with your gig, I think you need to practice failing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah. Also, yeah. on a separate note, I know how anxiety works, but as a vote of confidence, I've seen you perform live many a times. And even I can't even imagine you doing a bad gig, even if you're on a bad day, because it's excellent. If you listen at home, go check out Ella's music. It's really good. I really like it.
Oh, thanks. Well, I will reassure you to say that I was definitely playing up a lot of the emotions that I've had in the past for stuff like this, but no, it's definitely not something that I'm too stressed about. But there is a lot of resonance there, you know. Now that we've talked about this, I feel like there's certain things just in life in general that I've been kind of avoiding seeing the big F of failure. Fear that I've had about doing it. And actually, just another thing on this note, as I was sort of like hitting a few blocks creatively when I was working on music the other week, mm-hmm. then my partner was just like, hey, since we're spending Christmas just in this flat, do you want to make some Christmas decorations? Should we spend this evening doing that? I was like, that sounds like a great idea. We made all these Christmas decorations for our flat. Going from being a person who works exclusively in a music editing production medium and then getting my hands messy with painting and gluing and cutting things up and zero expectation for making anything that had to be like this work of art because it was just something that we're going to put up in our home was like the most profound liberating experience that I've had in such a long time. Was just like, I'm having so much fun creating because there's no expectation here. I just get to have fun doing this. And yeah, there was a load of failures. There was like, I have no idea what I'm doing with these paints and it's just getting everywhere. And that was like part of the fun is that, oh, I've blended this with this accidentally. Oh, this didn't stick to the wall. Okay, how do we get that to work? There's a huge liberation in that. So what a great way to round off the year. I'm so happy with that. That like really makes me feel warm inside. That's so great.
Take that anticipatory anxiety and this applies to everyone and just be like, use that as an opportunity to learn about yourself. Okay, my threat response is going off. What am I perceiving to be a threat here? Is it humiliation? Is it failure? Is it anxiety itself? Is it what? And then once you kind of dwell on it and understand it, or take it to therapy, which is, you know, if you get a good therapist to help you go through it, it's even easier. And use it to your advantage to learn a bit more about yourself. And that's what I've done with many clients and many people and also you now, Ella.
In public, we did it. Just before we round this off, I wanted to talk just a little bit about what we're gonna do for the rest of the year while we have no more podcasts to put out. But just a little idea that I had for our people, friends out there listening, and the community that's built up on Instagram in particular. I proposed this idea to you today, Josh, about creating a hashtag that's called It's Just Anxiety. And what I wanted to use that hashtag for is we're going to be putting out a few different posts on the Panic Pod, at the Panic Pod Instagram, leading up to the 31st of December. And it's going to be me talking about times when it was just anxiety for me. Josh, if you're ready to post a couple stories, maybe a couple anecdotes about when it was just anxiety for you.
Yeah.
And then in between those days, we're going to post some kind of fill in the blank questions for you to maybe give your example of what you've learned about your anxiety this year, or how your perspective on anxiety has changed, or maybe it's something medical that you learned, like something about the hormones or the different parts of our body, like the amygdala or the hypothalamus or sleep or anything like that. So there's going to be some sort of prompts for you to fill in the blanks, and we would really, really love it if you do decide to use this end of the year for some reflection, and if you're so confident to open up about your anxiety, then use that hashtag, and everything that we see we'll repost to the Panic Pod story so that people can see those. And I think it would be a really cool way for people to see what other people have reflected on over the year, and real examples of how people have just, even if it's just something that you change by like an inch in your life, like even if you just feel a little bit more confident about how to cope with anxiety, like just to, even if it's a small degree, but that you know that there's something that in 2019 you would have been affected by, that in 2020 that you've learned about yourself, I think it'd be a really cool way for us to all learn from each other. So that's going to be going on Instagram, and I think we'll just repost those to the Facebook story as well.
Yeah.
So that if you're just on Facebook, you can just see that there as
Hashtag it's just anxiety.
Yeah.
I went to the shops because I was scared when I was scared, but I did it because it's hashtag it's just anxiety. I did this, I did that. It's because hashtag it's just things. I can see that. I like that a lot. I'm gonna start doing it. Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I'm looking forward to seeing what people post. So it's gonna
be nice. But yeah, feel free, follow us on social media, The Panic Pod on Instagram, Ella of the Net on Instagram, Anxiety Josh on Instagram, and keep an eye out for more releases.
Mm-hmm. And if this is the last time we talk before 2021, Happy New Year, Josh.
Yeah, Happy New Year. And what a privilege it is to record this show with you.
Oh, it's been a lovely year.
Thank you.
All right.
See you later.
I'll see you next episode. Bye, Josh. Bye-bye.